Saturday, yeah, it's 4:45 at the office. Looking forward to meeting a bunch of Jersey City police officers this Wednesday, the 12th. For those of you who were putting training requests in and you didn't get chosen for this class, don't worry about it. This is the first initial class of running. We will be doing several more to make sure that everybody gets the training they deserve in Jersey City. So don't panic. I know they got like 140 training requests for 50 spots. I'm sure that everybody's going to get cycled through this. We're going to do our best to make sure over the next few months that everybody gets a piece of the training and gets to learn some of the stuff. It's been a while. I'm actually on my phone right now trying to get it to stand up straight because I wanted to do some stuff with the computer while I'm sitting here. I'm going to answer some questions that I didn't get to before on the 30th, actually. So it was 8 days ago that I said to propose your questions to me, and I would answer them to my best ability. And I'll give you the best answers I have for that. I have a message from somebody. I told them I would answer it in a message. I'm sorry, in a live video because it's beneficial for everybody. I didn't have an opportunity to get to that just yet, but we're going to do that tonight. And the other thing I want to talk about very quickly is I know earlier I put a post up in the group where a police officer in Sussex County, Sparta, namely, made a motor vehicle stop for somebody ashing out the window. And there was some surprise to some of our group members who had commented on it, like that's what he stopped the car for. I'm always here to try to educate everybody and never take a position of, you know, of an aggressive stance. It's not the point of this group. We're all here to learn and to try to understand things. So the one thing I want to say is let's all deploy a little humility. I have to hear there are plenty of people in this group who are not humble folks. And there's a lot of great, great people in this. I know you guys are good dudes. I hear it from your coworkers, how you guys are part of this group. You like to take the opportunity for what I do to criticize the things that I say. And that's fine. It just comes to the territory of doing something humble and honest and trying to get all police officers trained. Let me be clear on a few things. One, for those of you who have a lot of time on the job and think you know everything, you can always learn something. But two, you got to remember a lot of police officers don't know a lot of things. There are a lot of new people in this group who are benefiting tremendously from it. If you don't want to be here, just leave. That's fine. I appreciate if you just don't continue to, because I hear about it from your friends and family. Not friends and family, I'm sorry. I hear it from your coworkers. When you say something bad about me, it gets brought back to me right away. So enough. I know who you are. You're the very few minority in this group. It's a free training being given here in a group, so just enough. So let's go back into this stop that was made for a cigarette being flicked out the window. That was a probable cause for the stop. Now, in New Jersey New Jersey motor vehicle law, you would find that that would be in there. It is a violation. And we talk about serious violations versus not so serious violations. You see, when you do things unorthodox, when you think outside the box and do things differently than other people do, you have different results. If you're going to run a radar unit all day and set your threshold at 17 over the speed limit where you're going to stop cars, and that's what the people are going to talk to and request identification from, here's a news flash for everybody. The people who are wanted by the law for various amounts of reasons, or people who are drug dealers, they're generally not trying to get stopped by the police. So we have to get creative in a way to legally apprehend these folks. Maybe somebody smoking a cigarette out the window unknowingly, unaware that they don't have that it's illegal to do that because it's a fire hazard. It says it right in the motor vehicle law. Some people may consider that to be petty or bullshit, or they got to be doing 17 over the speed limit for it to be real. But let me tell you something. If you bring somebody to justice that's wanted for maybe a rape, a murder, a robbery, whatever it may be, and the reason you caught them is because they were ashing out the window, the reason you brought that person in because they were wanted for murder or a double homicide. In my class, I show many examples of that. And that's what you use to stop the car. Well, I'd say to you, that's a tad more effective as a police officer than stopping somebody for 17 over the speed limit and giving them a ticket. I would love to hear your argument on why bringing somebody of great caliber or somebody who has a great want for their arrest, possibly sexual assault, possibly robbery, how that does not trump a speeding ticket, okay? And you can begin to try to adamantly talk about your position, but what are you going to tell me? Well, how do you know it's not a $300 seatbelt warrant? I don't. But how do you know it's not a no bail wanted for murder out of another state warrant. So that's the point I'm advocating to you there. I'm not trying to bring negativity into this group. I just have to address some things. So no hard feelings about anybody who doesn't or misunderstands. You're new to this group, don't know why things are being done that way. We've had people in this group who've come in before, like, oh, you guys talk about all this bullshit, but like pulling people over for seatbelts and maintenance violations. Why don't you go out and do something good, like get them for 25 over the speed limit? Because that does nothing. That does nothing. People who are engaged in criminal activity or hiding from the police or have warrants for their arrest or whatever it may be are not trying to get pulled over. Newsflash. Nobody's speeding. And if it happened once, okay, there are anomalies in this world. But nobody who is trying to hide from the police is trying to be pulled over by speeding and driving erratically. Newsflash. How do we catch these people? On what legally the law allows us to enforce. And when you know what you can do legally, you can employ those tactics and bring people to justice who otherwise would have been unapprehensive or unapprehensible. You couldn't have grabbed them and brought them to the laws of the to the courts and to justice. And guys, that's how we catch people. Like, we don't catch people running radar, running random plates. It's not how you catch folks. You got to pay attention to the unorthodox style of police work. Yes, not a lot of people go out and stop people on bikes. Not every police officer knows to go out and stop somebody smoking and ashing out the window. But when you understand what in turn that does for you or your ability to now identify that person, if you can't identify them, you can bring them into custody, at least in the state of New Jersey. In every state I've been to so far, that's not argued with. That can't be argued with. It's impossible. It's in case law and the law. Well, that's effective. Anyway, on to the first set of questions that I have from people here. So you can find a little more than, and I'm not ranting or raving, I'm advocating a point. A point is, don't be judgmental. It's a horrible trait to have for anybody to look at somebody else and cast judgment on them. It's one of the most unadmirable traits that any human being can do for another person. So if you find yourself or you're recognizing yourself acting that way or being judgmental or behaving in that manner, why don't you go take a good look in the mirror and find out what is wrong with you? Then if that you can't figure it out there, you could take out your little medical card that they give you when you signed up. And on the back is probably a website. You can see that if you go to that website, you can find therapists that are within your network that you can go and call, pay a $5 or $10 or $15 copay, and begin to get to the root of what your problems are mentally that you have to cast judgment on other people. That's my only other piece of advice I can have for you is you need mental therapy. This is a group where we have a collective, almost 24,000 cops now, who are here to learn and to learn that we've figured out that, you know what, running radar just ain't getting the results that you want. No kidding. Nobody's downgrading if that's your thing. Nobody's, but don't sit here and judge what we do in this group ever or anybody of that matter. Or remember, be humble. That is a quality trait for any police officer. Is humility and humble and any human being at that manner. So let me read my first question here. This gentleman writes in, hey, I've been searching the entire Facebook group, but I couldn't really find the answer. Our shift has been doing some verbal consent for the longest time. We have no cameras. Lately, I've been bringing up the idea of using our consent form for every search. The guys admitted they were frightened by it, but it brought the point up. I couldn't refute that. I was hoping to clear up. If you have PC to search a vehicle, marijuana smell, and I get them to sign a consent form, they can stop the search at any time as long as it states in the form. Does this mean that my PC to search just goes out the window because I asked for that extra step? Which made us question, when would be the right time to ask for consent? And this has got to be a New Jersey question. Just so everybody's paying attention, we have these weird rules in New Jersey regarding the odor of marijuana, which, by the way, is going to be a moot point in the next 3 weeks, maybe 2 months tops when we get marijuana legalized here. So for everybody's positions on this, it's going to be out the window anyway because we're getting it legalized. So the PC search just goes out the window all because I asked for that extra step. Which made us question, when would be the right time to ask for consent before we start searching or after we've searched the PC and want to get in the trunk? Background. I'm here at the academy joining a proactive shift. I went to Brad's chap class a month ago and I've searched 5 cars since then. Before that, my head was in a computer just running plates, hoping something would go right. So I asked if I could take this question and go live with it. For the New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, this question is particularly for you. And we'll and then I'm going to give you a little piece for the people who are outside of New Jersey or around the rest of the country. And my prescription for advice for the rest of you is this. In New Jersey, we do have something called a scope of a search. I think somebody chimed in and said maybe Ohio has it or some other state, Iowa. Somebody in the Midwest has to deal with this as well. You could go about it either way. In New Jersey, just for those of you who are tuning in, we have the odor of marijuana or pretty much anything outside of dealer size quantity or a belief of dealer size quantities is going to allow you to search the interior compartment of the vehicle only. Most of the time, you're not going to get the trunk without asking for consent or having a canine hit or applying for a search warrant to the courts in those orders. And that's why I say it that way. Now, you can either begin by adamantly stating that you smell the odor of marijuana, request consent, and explain to that person, look, I'm only allowed to go into the interior compartment of your car at this junction. I'm going to do that here regardless. If I find anything that allows me to go and continue into the trunk and under the hood of the car, well, then I'm going to take that and use it to my ability. But however, without extending that search into a different compartment, unauthorized and within respect of your constitutional rights, would you grant me consent to search the remainder of the vehicle? I like the second way better, where you go, you say, look, your car smells like weed. You start searching the car. And if you don't find anything that you believe, like maybe not a shell casing or a hand, whatever it may be, handgun or dealer size quantities or suspicion of dealer size quantities. Remember the old adage of burnt gets you the car, raw gets you the trunk. That's all over. That's just bullshit. If you actually read the case law on it, it specifically talks about dealer size quantities. Patino, Lettman, I don't even have this case in front of me, Guerrera. Or Guerra, I think it is, not Guerrero. And these are the cases that we have to follow, unfortunately. So I would do that first, and I would come back and say, look, we've searched the interior compartment of your car. We didn't find anything. We'd like to request consent to search to the trunk of your car and under the hood as well. And in that certain circumstances, people are writing into me at this moment. You're distracting me. I would say at that junction, you would be able to, if they want to deny consent, you could call for a canine. You'd let the dog indicate on the car. I know what you're saying. The dog's going to hit on the car. You're going to get PC to search based on the smell. I know. New Jersey's weird. It's strange. That's just what we have to do. I cannot give you the advice to take a chance rolling the dice and maybe getting something suppressed or doing a bad search, leaving yourself open for litigation. I will not do that or perform that way in this group. And I will not do that. If you're an assistant prosecutor, wants to tell you to go ahead and search the entire car. We just saw one about 3 weeks ago get suppressed, going against the advice that I usually give in here. And I just can't advocate that to risk it. You know, you'd hate to be on the stand or getting something suppressed because you had to take an extra step. If you want to read, consent does not muddy the waters. If you actually read State versus Judge, the trooper at that time in 1994 knew he couldn't extend into the trunk of the car. So he requested consent, was granted it. And the court said, yeah, that was fine. He already had PC. He knew he couldn't go past the trunk, past the interior compartment. So he got consent, went into the trunk, and we're good with that. It says it right in it. So please, with these arguments and the things that I hear, I'm not giving you this advice because I think it's I come up with this stuff. I'm reading this and merely relaying it back to you so you perform your job correctly. Because if you're letting cars go without searching the trunks, you're absolutely moronic. You're letting criminal vehicles go. Oh, we didn't find anything, Charlie. You didn't even look at the trunk. You didn't look under the hood. No wonder why you didn't find anything. What a half-assed job you did. You do a half-assed job, you're going to have half-assed results. I mean, use your brains, folks. I'm trying to educate everybody as much as possible. The one thing that most of us lack is a good understanding and general knowledge of case law. I'm trying to deploy that constantly for the past 4 years, 6, 7 years I've been doing this to help folks. I know most of you appreciate the help that you've been receiving. Now, let's go to the next questions. Let's see. All right, you got back in time. Cool. So J.R. Cirillo asked me, eyewitness statements. Does an eyewitness statement give you PC to search a person or a vehicle? Well, and I think people replied to him. Let's see what people said. No, right? An eyewitness, credible source, can't leave the PC. Use the court's credibility, average concerned citizen. And somebody writes, credibility, yes, but don't think it would lead to PC. If I get pissed off at my neighbor and then call the cops, say I saw them seven. Yeah, exactly. So to answer this question is this. there's a basis of a knowledge, a veracity, and a motive behind that that's taken into consideration. There are several pieces of case law here in the state of New Jersey where I can tell you off the top of my head, I believe it was in Jersey City, that a girl saw a man with a shotgun, had no intentions of, you know, she was an unnamed citizen informant. I don't think she stuck around and gave her name, but that gives inherent credibility to that person being a witness of the crime. Now, there's anonymous tipsters, named citizen informants, and anonymous citizen informants. They all carry a different weight, and you're supposed to corroborate the evidence in the story. If they're giving you great detailed descriptions, it depends the amount of PC that you'll actually have or your ability to search something. You're certainly under no obligation to cease and desist what your duties are as a police officer. You just have to understand, and you know what? I'm actually going into that for the Jersey City guys that's being implemented into their program. I will do a video in great detail on the different levels of citizen informants and people and their inherent reliability. So with that being said, that's just a little scratch of the surface. There's a lot of cases. When I go through it, I'll add them to this video so you can read and cite the cases. It gives you a better understanding of how you'll be able to apply that in the field. So all carry a different weight, but veracity and corroboration, which and the basis of knowledge is veracity. So you have to just build up and try to make sure it all matches up. And then there's also, if you have confidential informants, their track record, their history, their motives behind what they're doing, all that stuff comes into play to be considered in the totality of the circumstances where it leaves you between reasonable suspicion and probable cause for an arrest. So it's not yes and it's not a no. It just depends on the circumstances and the situation. Can you offer your training to supervisors for free so maybe they will get on board with to send everybody? Yes. Training is available for at no charge for any captain, deputy chief, or chief that wants to attend the training, or any supervisor from an agency that has not sent any police officers to our any kind of generally my 2-day course, what people want to start out with. We also have Matt Lloyd becoming a Title 39 expert, and Brad Gilmore's Deceptive Behaviors, Hidden Compartments. Just wonderful class. And we got Rob Ferrero coming out. His program is going to be done. We're releasing the first one for that in January with free spots for the group members. That's just going to be offered out to. It'll be held probably at his police department in Warren Township if that goes to fruition at the end of January. We're going to put some dates in the books and offer it out for guys in here. I understand the frustrations. All I got to tell you is this, and I've advocated this 1,000 times before, you can't sell the unsellable, right? So there are supervisors who are open to hearing this and open to learning and have humility. And there are people who just don't give a shit. And there's nothing I can do to help you with that. I would love for everybody to understand, because as I've said 100 times and 1,000 and 2,000 times over, just prove me wrong. If you disagree with something that I'm saying, and I'm showing it to you in proof, in writing, citing case law, all I ask for you in return is to prove me wrong. You can reach out to me here on Facebook, whatever it may be. I would have the humility to say that I was wrong. So prove me wrong. You don't want to believe it. I give you the facts. Prove me wrong. And that's not me being cocky. It's the truth. I'm a very humble person. I want everybody to understand why we're doing what we're doing. It replies on that. All right. And if a passenger of a vehicle claims ownership of a vehicle, the vehicle's registered to the mother, but the passenger states he or she is the primary driver, can the passenger give consent to search? Actual registered owner is in the vehicle? Yes. If you can demonstrate superior ownership to a vehicle, then yes. But remember, if somebody is driving the car and they have personal items in the car, they have to be afforded the opportunity to remove personal items. The passenger, although they may have ownership of the vehicle, doesn't have ownership over the driver per se in this circumstance, their backpack or their pocketbook. They don't have superior right over somebody else's personal belongings. If you are going into that situation where somebody is denying consent of a backpack or luggage specific in a vehicle, you're probably going to deploy right into a straight up deploying a canine to the scene, letting a dog hit. And then everything comes into play under Wyoming versus Houghton, adopted by New Jersey on several occasions. And Houghton spelled H-O-U-G-H-T-O-N. And the reason it's Wyoming versus Houghton is a U.S. Supreme Court case law that is set the precedence for situations like this, what can be searched in a car. You can also check out U.S. v. Ross. I think it's 1982 or 88. Off the top of my head, I'm just thinking of this stuff. Run a search on Houghton against your state. I'm sure they've adopted it. It's just common sense. So hopefully that answers your question, Doge. What's your approach for auditors, aka completely irrational dumb fucks with cameras trying to get falsely arrested and say shit like I know my rights? You know, I had a conversation. I haven't read any of these questions before I came out here. And I thought about this today. Training like this and educating yourself, like literally, will prevent you from embarrassment. Not knowing what you're doing and talk. And I think about that one video that I've seen on YouTube of, and I'm not picking on the guy, but it was a New York State trooper. They're flying a drone over the barracks. And he comes out and he's telling the guy he's going to arrest him. He doesn't give his ID, the whole nine. And then his lieutenant walks out and says, no, let him go. No, let him go. The guy's like, well, this officer said over here that, that I was going to be arrested. Nope, that's not true. He's wrong. Okay, you go back to work. And oh, sorry, officer, you didn't know your job. The problem with not knowing what you can and can't do is not knowing what you can and can't do. And then when you're on camera looking like an ass, who is to blame? Partially the people that were supposed to train you, yourself, society, I don't know, politics, the whole nine. Hence why training exists. Hence why you got to take it, put it in your own hands, and train so you don't look like a jackass and you don't get sued on camera. And then if you know they get to a point across the threshold where they become arrestable or some kind of violation of the law, you can confidently enforce that against people. Okay? Where's it? Courtney, we're going to go on live video. Courtney's not doing a live video. All right. And then Ryan wrote to me. No, it's up in Carver. So the gas station, they see you behind us doing. Okay, so Ryan's question we'll come back to another day. Say he's off, and I'll probably talk to him a little bit further because this question was very, very vague. Not vague, but it could be taken 100 different ways, and I just want to get specific on what he wants answered. I did this one on my phone. I'm gonna grab my phone. With that being said, guys, hopefully you found value in this video. Remember, the intention of street cop training is to get cops trained, not to give anybody fuel to get upset with. If you can understand what we're doing and what we're explaining here and really have confidence in the law and we show where it comes from and we're just trying to get cops trained to prevent people from not knowing what to do because we know that people continuously go to this job and have no clue what they're supposed to do in certain situations. And hats off to those folks who do know all the things and do know everything. God bless you. God bless that you know everything. And if people think that I act like I'm a know-it-all, I'm not. This is what I do for a living. I know about 140 pieces of case law, and I know them extremely thorough. The good news is 94% of the stuff we're going to deal with as police officers are going to derive from the 140 pieces of case law that I know extremely well. Or so as it goes, I don't try to cast a wide net and try to teach everything. We teach this one thing because it's most effective. And it helps all police officers, detectives, sergeants, lieutenants, captains, patrol, you name it, we'll help you. So enough with the bullshit. With that being said, enjoy.